اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان.
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. تجلسين الصلاة. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. So throughout these last couple of nights we've been talking about some of the mindsets, some of the mentalities that stop us from going through this process of self-building. And up until now, we've talked about three of them. The last one that we talked about was underestimating the effects that it can bring to our life. Underestimating the effect that it can have on the world around us. Because like we said yesterday, when we talk about self-building, the first thing that comes to mind is the self, right? It's not others. It's not the world around us, it's not the environment that we live in. Okay, it's self-building. But we pointed out with examples that if Islam encourages us to go through this process of self-building, it's because once we do that, then the effects will never be confined to just us. It will affect anyone who interacts with us, sometimes people who we don't interact with. Okay? The example we mentioned was the example of Ayatollah Behjat, right? A person who a lot of us have never seen in our lives. Those who have saw him, who have seen him, I don't think it was more than a couple seconds, unless you were buddies with him. I don't think he had more than a couple seconds, or we had more than a couple seconds to see him. But you still find that, you know, years after, I think it's been 3-4 years since he passed away. Years after he's passed away, his name does what it has to do. Okay? So this process of self-building in Islam, it goes far beyond just us, just that individual. Okay? The effects go far beyond that. When you look at the incident of Karbala that we mentioned yesterday, when the Imam tells his son that this caravan is going towards death, we're going to face an enemy, and this enemy is not going to leave anyone alive. Any of us, if we're placed in that situation, the first thing that comes to our mind is, are we going to win the war? Are we going to win the battle? No. The question that comes to the mind of the beloved son of the Imam is, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing at that moment? And it's interesting because when you look at that khutbah that we were discussing at the beginning of the month, his grandfather asked the same question from the Prophet. When the Prophet was addressing the people before the month of Ramadan started, he explains about the month and the khutbah that we went through. At the end, though, the Prophet points out, he says that during this month, individuals will allow themselves to do things to you, O Ali, that are haram. They will allow themselves to martyr you. They will make that halal for themselves. And once again, Imam Ali, salawatullah alayhi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Once again, the first question that comes to his mind is not, who is going to do this? Or am I going to make an impact before I leave this world? Am I going to be able to save the world? None of this is going on in his mind. None of this has occupied his mind. What has occupied his mind? He asks, he says, وَذَلِكَ فِي سَلَامَةٍ مِّن دِينِي. Am I on the right path or not? That's the number one question he has. So as individuals, what we can learn when we see these individuals who have had the greatest impact on history, we understand that if we want to have a great impact on history, let alone history, just our own community, if we're going to have that impact, it all starts from here. Okay? Does it end here? Like we said yesterday, it never ends here. The effects go far beyond one individual, two individuals, once they actually go through that self-building. Now, To become a bit more precise and practical, what we mean by this process of self-building is strictly doing what is wajib and staying away from what is haram. Okay, and I know we've mentioned this a number of times, but it's something that we're going to have to emphasize. Okay, now it's something that we have to constantly remind ourselves about. Because sometimes we get used to the routine of simply being good people. What does being good people mean? Being good people means that we believe in Islam, we believe in the pillars of faith, right? And generally speaking, we do the things that Muslims do on a general basis, right? We pray, we fast, we go to do hajj if we have the chance to. Generally speaking, we're nice to our family, we don't drink, you know. But when we speak of taqwa, that's not what we mean. That's the starting point. The starting point is what? Is as individuals, we do parts of our religion, certain parts we fall short, right? When we fall short, what do? We do tawbah, we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we carry on with our life. And this goes on for the 60 years or 70 years or 80 years, inshallah for you it would be 90 years of our life, right? We're good people until something comes up, a test comes up. We fall short. When we fall short, we do tawbah, we repent. And then we get up again, once again we go until we fall short again. And there's no blame in that. Okay, that's a good starting point. But we need to understand that as Muslims, that is not the ending point. The ending point, what we're trying to reach in this life, is a life in which you live and you no longer make mistakes. And that's very difficult. Okay? But that is the goal. A life in which you live until you reach a point where you're no longer committing sins. Not that you live your life, you commit your sin, then you do tawbah, then you move on, again you commit your sin, you do tawbah, you move. Like I said, that's a great starting point. It's a great starting point, but that's not the goal. Okay? And if we don't reach that goal, that connection between us Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be created, so to speak. Because we're constantly destroying our faith with that one sin that we keep doing, or those two sins that we keep doing, or the three sins that we keep doing. Right? The way we see doing good deeds and doing bad deeds are like points. This is how we see them. Right? We see them as points, right? If I do a good deed, I get 10 points. If I do a bad deed, I get minus 1. Right? So at the end of the day, I still have 9. That's how us Muslims look at it. And although that might be true in one sense, however, when it comes to building faith, building a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's not how it works. How does it work? It's like a building that you're building, the bricks that you're putting on each other. Right? You go all the way to the top and then you take out one brick from the bottom, it sort of, all of it comes apart. That's how we should see it. Okay? Now, this is I'm just going to mention this story, and this is a story that, although it always brings a smile to my face, it's also very interesting in terms of how it explains this concept of us looking at good deeds as bad and bad deeds as the building, not as the points that we stack up. Okay, this is a story, if I'm not mistaken, it's about our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq salawatullahi alayhi. And this is the Imam himself telling the story. He says that there was in the city, there was this person that everyone knew as a great individual. كَانَ رَجُلًا سَمِعْتُ قُطَاءَ الْعَمَّةِ تُعَذِّمُهُ وَتَصِفُهُ. I heard everyone saying good things about this individual. فَأَحْبَابْتُ لِقَاءَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْرِفُنِي. Therefore, I, I wanted to see what kind of person this person is. What is he doing that everyone in the city of Medina is talking great things about this guy? Except I wanted to do that without him knowing that it's me. Or else if he knows it's me, if he knows that it's the Imam that's seeing him and meeting him, that might change things. So I want to see him in sort of a disguised form. Okay, without him knowing that I'm seeing him. I just want to see what he's doing that everyone in the city is talking so great about him. فَوَقَفْتُ مُنْتَبِذًا عَنْهُمْ. He says that one day I was in the bazaar and I saw this individual come. And when he came, everyone gathered around him. Right? Because everyone knew him as a great individual. So everyone gathered around him. فَوَقَفْتُ مُنْتَبِذًا عَنْهُمْ. What did the Imam do? He says, I stood away from them, just waiting to see what happens. مُتَغَشِّيًا بِلِثَامٍ أَنْدُرُ إِلَيْهِ. I had something covering my face, just waiting to see what is going to happen. فَمَا زَالَ يُرَاوِغُهُمْ حَتَّى خَالَفَ تَرِيقَهُمْ فَفَارَغَهُمْ. After people gathered and saw him, then he chose a different path from the crowd. And therefore, the crowd was no longer with him. So now is a better chance to get to know what he does. وَتَابِعْتُهُ أَقْتَفِي أَثَرُهُ. I followed him through the bazaar. فَلَمْ يَلْبَثْ أَنْ مَرَّ بِخَبَّازٍ. While he was going down the bazaar, he passed by someone, a khabbaz. A khabbaz is one who sells, you guys call it roti. Right? Roti. He sells roti, okay? We call it naan. But, yeah. So this guy is a khabbaz, and he's calling out that he's selling his bread, you know? فَلَمْ يَلْبَثْ أَنْ مَرَّ بِخَبَّازٍ. What did he do? فَتَغَفَّلَهُ. And while he wasn't paying attention, فَأَخَذَ مِنْ دُكَانِهِ رَغِيفَيْنِ مُسَارَغَةً. He took two of these loaves of bread, and put it in his pocket. Now, before we carry on with the story, any of us who's in that situation, the first thing that comes to mind is, psh, see that? Everyone's saying good things about him. They don't know what type of person he is. He steals stuff. That's our first impression, right? That's a conclusion we're going to draw, right? But what is the conclusion? This doesn't have to do with the main point we're trying to get to, but look at how the Imam deals with this situation. A lot of us come across this situation. فَتَعَجَّبْتُ مِنْ. I was surprised. But what? ثُمَّ قُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي لَعَلَّهُ مُعَامَلَةً. I told myself, maybe there's some sort of a transaction going on. Maybe the reason why he took the loaves of bread, it's because there's a reason why he did it. Maybe it was a transaction with his friend. Maybe he had paid him before. Maybe this way of explaining things, this lacks in our communities, unfortunately. We see someone doing something, instead of explaining it a different way and waiting for things to unfold themselves, we jump to conclusions. This is something that we see in Muslims all around the world, unfortunately. If any of us saw that, the first thing that comes to mind is that this guy's stealing stuff. But the Imam, he explains it for himself. Okay. Now, does this mean that the Imam is sure there's a transaction going on? No. Does he know that he paid the person that's selling the bread? No. The Imam does not know that. In fact, there's a great chance he's actually stealing this stuff. But there's a huge difference between a great chance and a great possibility and the Imam being sure. And that's why we give people the benefit of the doubt. So as long as we're not sure, we cannot accuse him of doing so. فَتَعَجَّبْتُ مِنْ ثُمَّ قُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي لَعَلَّهُ مُعَامَلَةً. Maybe it's a transaction. Now the Imam is still after why this person is known as such a great individual. ثُمَّ مَرَّ بَعْدَهُ بِصَاحِبِ الرُّمَّانِ. Afterwards, he continued walking down the bazaar, and he passed by someone who was selling pomegranates. فَمَا زَالَ بِهِ حَتَّى تَغَفَّلَهُ. He waited for 1 second, and while he wasn't paying attention again, فَأَخَذَ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ رُمَّانَتَيْن. Once again, he took 2 pomegranates from this guy who's selling pomegranates. Once again, فَتَعَجَّبْتُ مِنْ. The Imam says, I was surprised once again. I didn't know what to say. ثُمَّ قُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي لَعَلَّهُ مُعَامَلَةٌ. Maybe there's some sort of transaction going on. We don't know. We're not sure about this. ثُمَّ لَمْ أَزَلْ أَتْبَعُهُ حَتَّى مَرَّ بِمَرِيضٍ. And then I continued following him. This time, he didn't pass by anyone who's selling stuff. This time he passed by an individual who was poor. He's asking for help. فَوَضَعَ الرَّغِيفَيْنِ وَالرُّمَّانَتَيْنِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَمَضَى. So what did this guy do? He took out the bread, the 2 loaves of bread. He took out the 2 pomegranates and he gave it to that poor individual. فَوَضَعَ فِي يَدِهِ وَمَضَى. He put them in his hands and he left. وَتَبِعْتُهُ حَتَّى اسْتَقَرَّ فِي بُقْعَةٍ مِّن صَحْرَى. I continued following him until he moved, so to speak, towards the suburbs of the city where it's not crowded at all. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ. And the Imam, throughout this, although he's trying to figure out why this person is known as such a great individual, he's also trying to figure out whether this person was stealing or not. How does he solve this issue? He brings it up with himself. He asks himself. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ سَمِعْتُ بِكَ خَيْرًا وَأَحْبَبْتُ لِقَائِكَ. O servant of Allah, I've heard so many good things about you and I wanted to see you. I wanted to see what type of person you are, that all these people are talking good things about you. فَلَقِيتُكَ. And I saw you. وَلَكِنِّي رَأَيْتُ مِنْكَ مَا شَغَلَ قَلْبِي. Something happened that it's sort of occupying my mind and I want to bring it up with you. وَإِنِّي سَائِلُكَ عَنْهُ. Doesn't say, why did you steal? He says, I want to ask you about this. Can you clarify it for me? قَالَ مَا هُوَ. What is it that occupied your mind? He says, I saw you. He tells him the story. I saw you pass by the person who was selling the bread, and you stole 2 loaves of bread, and then, or you didn't steal them, you took 2 loaves of bread, and then you saw the person who was selling the pomegranates, and so on. So what does that individual say now? He says, فَقَالَ لِي قَبْلَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَدِّثْنِي مَنْ أَنْتَ. Before you say anything, tell me who you are. The Imam says, رَجُلٌ مِّن وَلْدِ آدَمْ مِّن أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَوَةُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. Says, who are you? He says, I'm a son of Prophet Adam, and I am a believer, I'm amongst the followers of Prophet Muhammad. And then he insists, he says, no, tell me who you are in particular. He says, رَجُلٌ مِّن أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. I'm one of the Ahlul Bayt. He says, where do you live? He says, I live in Medina. He says, maybe you're that famous Ja'far ibn Muhammad that everyone talks about. قُلْتُ بَلَى. Yeah, I said yes. Please recite the salawat. اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّى عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ. Now, this individual, his approach is very interesting. Once he finds out that this person, this individual that's been seeing him and following him is amongst Ahlul Bayt, what does he say? He says, فَمَا يَنْفَعُكَ شَرَفُ أَهْلِكَ مَعَ جَهْلِكَ بِمَا شُرِّفْتَ بِهِ. What good does it do to you, the fact that you are amongst the descendants of the Prophet, when you don't even know the message of the Prophet himself? This is the other individual telling who? Telling the Imam. He says, what good does it do you if you don't even know what the Prophet was trying to tell you? The message of the Prophet. قُلْتُ وَمَا هُوَ. What is the Imam says, what is this message that you're talking about that I don't understand? He says, Al-Qur'an kitabullah, the Qur'an. قُلْتُ وَمَا الَّذِي جَهَلْتُ مِنْ. What is it that I don't know about the Qur'an that you're so furious about? قَالَ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. He says, this verse of the Qur'an you never understood in your life. Telling who? the imam. من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها ومن جاء بالسيئة فلا يجزى إلا مثلها. من جاء بالحسنة, whoever brings a good deed, how many rewards does he get? فله عشر أمثالها. Right? ومن جاء بالسيئة, and whoever brings a bad deed, فلا يجزى إلا مثلها. And now he starts explaining. This is what إني لما سرقت الرغيفين كانت سيئتين. When I stole the loaves of bread, how many is that? It's minus two. ولما سرقت الرمانتين كانت سيئتين. That's minus four altogether. فهذه أربع سيئات. This is four bad deeds that I did. فلما تصدقت بكل واحدة منها كانت أربعين حسنة. When I took every single one of these, the two loaves of bread and the two pomegranates, and I gave them away as charity, as sadaqah, what does that count as? It counts as 40 good deeds. فَانْتَقَسَ مِنْ أَرْبَعِينَ حَسَنَةً أَرْبَعُونَ. From that 40, you can take the 4, yeah. It's minus 4, you can have that. بَغِيَ لِي, it still leaves for me, how much? سِتٌ وَثَلَاثُونَ حَسَنَةً. So we're making profit, right? And this is the imam. ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. What are you talking about? أَنْتَ الْجَاهِلُ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ. You haven't understood what the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. أَمَا سَمِعْتَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Have you not heard the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an? He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only accept the acts of those who are amongst the muttaqeen, who try to stay away from the haram, who try to do the wajib. إِنَّكَ لَمَّا سَرَقْتَ الْرَقِيفَيْنِ كَانَتْ سَيِّئَتَيْنِ. When you stole the two loaves of bread, that was two bad deeds. وَلَمَّا سَرَقْتَ الرُّمَّانَتَيْنِ كَانَتْ سَيِّئَتَيْنِ. And the pomegranates alike. وَلَمَّا دَفَعْتَهُمَا إِلَى غَيْرِ صَاحِبَهُمَا بِغَيْرِ أَمِّ صَاحِبِهُمَا كُنْتَ إِنَّمَا أَضَفْتَ أَرْبَعَ سَيِّئَاتٍ إِلَى أَرْبَعَ سَيِّئَاتٍ. The imam explains it. He says you should look at it this way. You should look at it this way. When you took the loaves of bread and the pomegranates, that's four sins that you yourself admitted to. And then you took them, that's one thing. You gave them to another person who did not own them. That's another four bad deeds. That's another four sins. So now, instead of having plus 36, you have what? He has minus 8. He stole the loaves and the pomegranate, that's minus 4. And then without the permission of the owner, he gave them to another individual, that's minus 8. فَجَعْلَ يُلَاحِذِنِي. And he just stood there looking at me. فَتَرَكْتُهُ وَانْصَرَفْتُ. And I left. Now, two points that we need to understand from this story. First is that the way the imam dealt with the question he had in his mind. And this is extremely important. The way that he did not jump to conclusions when he saw this individual taking his time, waiting for the seller to look away and taking his stuff. Okay? Even though, if you ask the imam, I'm pretty sure the imam is smart enough to understand this. That if there's someone there and he's waiting for the seller to look away and then all of a sudden he takes two loaves of bread, there's a 99% chance that he's stealing. Right? What kind of transaction is that? But the imam still doesn't jump to conclusions when it comes to this issue, even though it happened twice. And the more important point is that the way the imam dealt with it, the first person he brought it up with was himself. And this is what I think as Muslims we really need to learn. Whenever something happens in the community, whether it's a young individual or elder individual, the first person we need to talk to is that person himself. We have tradition saying that if someone If we hear that someone has done something wrong, this tradition is from Imam Sadiq as well. Please recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Jinnah. If you hear that someone has done something wrong, and 70 people come to you and tell you, listen, this person has done this wrong thing. But when you ask himself, he says, no, I didn't do it. And he's a believer, you believe him. Does that mean that, for example, if I want to entrust someone with something, I can go give it to that individual? No, maybe when it comes to practice, you may not trust him. Why? Because 70 people are telling you that he stole something. So in terms of practice, you may not trust him as much. But still, in your heart, or when you're talking to others, you still can't tell him, or you still can't tell others that he did something like that. You still can't attribute that to him. Okay, I'm trying to make the difference clear here. Okay, yes, if you hear 70 people coming to you and telling you, listen, Brother Haydar, for example, he stole whatever this and that much money, right? That's going to cause doubt in you. No one's saying that, no, go in your brain and take away that doubt. No, the doubt is there. The doubt is there. The doubt was there for the Imam as well, right? That's why he was surprised. That's a doubt. So the doubt is there. When Islam says that you shouldn't think bad of others, it doesn't mean that go get rid of that doubt. No, he's the best person that ever lived. No. What it means is that in practice, you may not want to trust him. You might want to entrust someone who people say good things about. There's no problem with that. But at the end of the day, you cannot, at the bottom of your heart, you cannot think or you cannot tell others that he did this. Or no, he's just lying. He did it. I know his family. I know his mom and dad. A lot of that goes on in our communities, unfortunately. Something comes up about a young individual, right? And say, oh no, I know his parents. His parents have some. Let's not talk about it, but I know his parents. Right? Like, for example, our imams, some of the children of our imams, unlike the trend that we have when it comes to the children of the imams, who were very similar to the imams themselves, sometimes the children were not similar to the imams. Sometimes they went against the imam. Right? We have children of the imams who claim that they were the imam after their father, knowing that it was their brother. They would tell people, they said, no, it's not him, it's me. I'm the next imam. Do any of us sit there and say, oh, no, I know his parents, there's something wrong with him? No, his parents, his father is the imam. There's nothing wrong with his parents. So the point I'm trying to get to is the way the imam dealt with this issue, not jumping to conclusions, and the difference between practice and attributing something to someone. The Prophet did this so many times that the people would come to him and they say, "Huwa udun." What does udun mean in Arabic? Anyone? Udun. Ear. Right? Udun means ear. Why would they call the Prophet of Allah ear? Which is a disrespectful term to use. Why? Because when people would come to him and say, "We didn't do such a thing," he would believe him. Believing him, does that mean that the Prophet would give important decisions to him to make? No. Doesn't mean he would entrust him with important things. No. But at the end of the day, if they asked the Prophet, "Did this person do this bad thing?" he would say no. قُلْ هُوَ أُذُن. They would make fun of the Prophet. They would say, "He's so simplistic. He's lying to you. Don't you understand?" Yes, if the Prophet was sure about something, that's a different issue. But as long as there's a chance, as long as that we've not been there, we cannot attribute things to people. The Quran says, قُلْ أُذُنُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It is better for you that the Prophet is like that. It is better for you that the Prophet has that attribute of whatever you tell him, as long as he's not sure he'll take your word. That's better for yourself. Don't make fun of him. That's, if he wasn't like that, your society will fall apart. Families fall apart with this stuff. That was the first point, how the imam didn't jump to conclusion. What was the second point? The second point was, the imam doesn't look at it as points. It's not minus 4, plus 40, we get minus, what, plus 36. No, it doesn't work like that. Right? إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the deeds who have taqwa. Taqwa, what does taqwa mean? Does that mean that it's an individual who doesn't commit any sins? No. In that case, none of our deeds would be accepted. But it is someone who tries, who pushes, who makes his efforts. Not like this individual who's just walking around and stealing stuff. No, he tries, he pushes. He may fall short sometimes. But his number one priority in life, his number one priority in life is to stay away from what's haram and do what's wajib. And he focuses on that. And you know, as individuals, as human beings, whatever we set our minds to, we will be able to do it. It'll take time. That's a given. It'll take time. But if we actually make that the number one priority in a life, sooner or later we're going to get there. So what we need to do throughout this month is actually understand that that's our number one priority. Doing the wajib and staying away from the haram. Inshallah, we're going to conclude with a couple of prayers. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places us amongst the muttaqeen. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us stay away from what's haram and do what it's wajib. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hastens the return of our 12th imam with the barakat of a salawat. على محمد وعلى محمد